Welcome to our Wednesday attunement service. Lena and I will be co-hosting our evening together. So welcome. Thank you very much for being here together. So today we are going to consider conscious evolution, a new vision of the future in our awake consciousness of the present moment. So let us begin with some centering. Let us take a nice big breath, maybe open up the body a little bit. Feel that breath coming all the way into the heart. Living God through the heart. Bright, radiant consciousness. Permeating the breath, permeating the body. Bringing the heart to its warmth and goldenness of radiance. Our conscious evolution of our awareness and attention. Emerging from our source. Knowing consciousness as the natural sovereign of our experience, knowing consciousness as permeating all realms of possibility, and quickening the evolution of each moment of our togetherness. Together in united radiance, in each moment of this service together. So may it be. So let it be. And so it is. Amen. So our topic today is conscious evolution, and we're going to see a couple of video presentations. One is from Barbara Marx Hubbard on conscious evolution, and the other is from David on Sunday, Apocalypse at the Mountaintop. So as Barbara begins this portion, she refers to the noosphere, the sphere of knowing, which to me is another way of describing the single eye, the noosphere of our collective field of knowing. So let's dive into this here with Barbara and see what we can discover together. And this will be about a 6-minute piece.
And when he saw that the coming together of the noosphere, the thinking layer of Earth, this was before internet, when he saw that, I intuitively knew that was right. And I'm probably one of the very few people to fall in love with the noosphere in the 60s. I got a feeling of purpose. Not only did evolution for billions of years rise to higher complexity, higher order, and greater freedom, of choice to destroy or create, but it was going somewhere that if we got there, he saw that if that thinking layer of Earth were to be filled with love, innovation, and creativity, it would be like the nervous system of a newborn baby. It would connect the whole planetary organism, which is a living planetary organism, into a state, in his language, was the Christification of the Earth. And I've come to call it a planetary awakening, a planetary birth, a global brain turning on. There are many versions of it. But when I saw that evolution had a direction and a purpose, it was going somewhere, and the place it was going was the same place in me that was yearning to be more, do more, love more, and create more, which had turned me into, from the Freudian analysis, neurotic. And Jonas had said that I was a mutant. And what Teilhard de Chardin said, that there were two types of people on this earth, he thought. One was called Homo progressivus. Homo progressivus is the type that by some mysterious reason thinks that something is emerging that's new, that they don't know what it is. They're attracted toward the future as a process emerging toward the unknown. That was totally me. Attracted to the future, progressing toward the unknown. The other type was called the bourgeois, who didn't like the unknown and wanted to hold it exactly as it was. And he felt that the ones attracted to the future would eventually be animated by the ability to participate in that, whereas the ones trying to hold on, which we can see now in reactionary politics, in reactionary religions, in reactionary efforts of all kinds, to hold on in this period of radical change, we can see that the homo progressivus is proliferating. The mutants are arising. And I have this feeling of mutants popping up, you know, with seeing all those microorganisms. Maybe they've got more heat inside, or that the microorganisms got in somehow, or they are the microorganism. We are the microorganisms of humans, because there's absolutely no reason to assume that evolution stops here. With a self-centered, self-conscious genius of a species, great at overpopulating, polluting, and killing, and creating and inventing the powers of gods, well, if I were God, I would say we're just getting started, folks. We're just getting started, and I think the evolutionary mutants, the homo progressivus, have a clue here of enormous significance. And I began to discover through a lot of revelations and different types of reading a worldview that I'm calling conscious evolution. I believe that it will be the next step after self-conscious humanity. And if you think of about 50,000 years ago, when self-reflective consciousness came into the world, there was no understanding of how new that was to the people who were experiencing it in a Neanderthal and early human world. Self-consciousness was a new species that emerged. What I began to understand is that in our generation, particularly with the two world wars and the dropping of the atomic bomb and the powers to destroy all of life, that nature was creating a mutation in the species, and that the consciousness of the type of human who innately loved the earth, innately cared for each other, innately was yearning for greater meaning and conscious evolution, that I was one of those, and that conscious evolution arose right along with the possibility of destruction of our whole life support system. And it arose with the, first of all, the awareness of cosmogenesis. Cosmogenesis was discovered in the 1960s. That's why it's not in politics, it's not in universities in general, it's certainly not in global corporations, it's not in the Vatican. Where it isn't there yet, it's just emerging. But what I realized is we are the first species on the face of this earth to be aware of evolution, to be aware that we are affecting our own evolution by everything that we do, the babies we eat, the food we eat, the wars we fight. We are the first species to begin to understand not only are we aware of evolution, but we are evolution.
We are evolution. It's pretty powerful. So I'm just curious, how many of us consider ourselves to be, as Barbara named there, homo progressiveness, attracted to the future, feel something emerging, coming from the unknown, and you are excited to participate in our conscious evolution. And also curious, how many might claim that they are part of the bourgeois? They like the status quo. They don't want to change. They have an attitude of conformity. Just a little, maybe? Looks like most of us are mutants here. So we, as humans, we've come to a time where we're now aware of the noosphere. We're aware of this field of consciousness, or we're becoming aware. And we're understanding how our thoughts and our feelings affect it. And it does indeed take a level of courage and bravery to move into the unknown, to challenge the status quo, to see and recognize those programmed thoughts and those reactionary feelings so that we can come to that higher place, to think the thoughts of evolution, and to have a heart for the becoming of our species. So with the worldview of conscious evolution, knowing that not only are we evolving, but we are evolution, our thoughts and feelings affect the field, affect the collective, I ask, what purpose do we wish to serve in this evolution? For myself, I know that the part that I want to serve is that of bringing heaven to earth, is to assist in the spiritual regeneration of humanity. That's the mission of EDL, right? And I want to help humanity unlock its fullest potential and to create something beautiful on this earth. As Barbara said, if the field can be filled with love, innovation, and creativity, it would be like the nervous system of a newborn baby. It would connect the whole planetary organism into a state of Christification, a planetary awakening. And that is what I feel emerging from the unknown. How about you? So how do we come to a place where we can positively impact the collective consciousness? In our ministry lately, we've been talking about coming to the mountaintop, ascending in consciousness to see a larger perspective, to allow ourselves to be seen by the light, to be known, and to allow all of who and what we are to be present. So we're going to play a clip from David speaking this past Sunday on this topic.
And as day follows night, when we see with true eyes, there's care. There's the ordering power of truth that naturally takes over in all those processes of creation. There is that true governance when there's true sight. So what we know is true sight is gained when we come to the mountaintop. When we come to the mountaintop, the veil, the clouds that used to separate us from the light of the heavens is dissipated. But perhaps dissipated is too soft a word. No, there is an explosive apocalypse. Those clouds are evaporated. And what might seem to be a drastic process, things have seemed drastic in America, drastic, violent even, not because the view from the mountaintop was that they should be violent, but because there was corruption that insisted on it coming to that. So where there are things that are clouding us from the all-seeing eye of heaven, where we're hiding someplace, those clouds must be dispelled. And perhaps a violent thunderstorm, lightning. The joy of it is that after a thunderstorm, the air clears. We feel a new sense of atmosphere and a new sense of our connection to what's above. A new delight, a new joy. That is the experience of apocalypse, the ordering power of the universe, and our being seen enters us. It brings both direction and loving encompassment and holding. And I'll use the word that Karen used and that beautiful invocation. It brings comfort. The ordering power of the universe brings comfort to the human heart. There's unrest. As long as humanity tries to rest out of the hands of God, the order of the world in which we live, that causes unrest, discomfort, and fear, because we know it's unsustainable. Corruption's unsustainable. And so at the mountaintop, we feel the comfort of the ordering power of the universe entering us, seeing us, knowing us, creating order in our heart, intelligence in our mind. True knowing, true wisdom begins with allowing knowing to enter us from above. It begins with being known. And in being known, as I say, there's comfort. Comfort of true direction. Not imposed, but simply known. Isn't that how it is? Alex is a living picture of that as he plays piano. Not something imposed, but you can see the living, breathing, intelligence, wisdom, knowing, moving through his human facility, including his fingers. Not imposed on the outside, but just being known. And that provides the guidance, the direction for the unfolding pattern of creation. And isn't that how it is for any one of us in a creative activity? True order doesn't come because it's imposed. It comes because it's simply being known. And if we allow it to direct us in intelligent ways, and we know we're held by the great comforter of truth in that process.
Really lovely piece, isn't it? David speaks about the apocalypse on the mountaintop. And so I became very curious about this and found the definition. Warren's going to put that up on the screen. And from Greek, if we could trace it back to its original Greek meanings, it means to uncover. It means to disclose, or a disclosure of knowledge, a lifting of the veil, a revelation. And in my eyes, I see this apocalypse as such a needed thing for conscious evolution. The truth needs to be uncovered. There needs to be a revelation of truth. So those shadowy areas in my being can have the light shown upon them so that they can grow, they can evolve. And so that my thoughts and feelings can also grow and evolve and affect the collective consciousness in a positive way. David said that the apocalypse can be an explosive process. And, you know, as soon as I heard that, I remembered this point in my past when I had an explosive apocalyptic moment. For me, I was in my early 20s. And it was definitely a point in my life where I really just wanted to fit in. I looked to other people for the correct way to be. I really wanted to be accepted. And so I built an identity of myself that could protect me from being hurt or being rejected. And I lived by ideas of what a perfect person should be. And ultimately, I was hiding my true self. Ultimately, I was afraid of being deemed unworthy of love. And for me, that would be the most painful thing. So I was a member of this personal development group, and I had a friend in the group that was notorious for calling me out and challenging me. And it really scared me at the time. Like, it was just the scariest thing ever to be seen. She could just penetrate like into my soul and see me. And I began pushing her away and hiding and avoiding and denying and getting defensive doing everything I could to reinforce this identity that I had built up in myself, because it was so uncomfortable to be seen. And one day she wrote me an email, a very heartfelt email, and pointed out some of my behaviors that weren't aligning with what I was saying, and letting me know that it was causing her pain. And at first, I was mad. I was mad at her for calling me out, for putting me in this position that was challenging me. And I remember I started drafting a response like 10 times. I would write something and delete it, because it started to become aware to me that I was being fake and I was being false. And I started to become aware of how I was, you know, being defensive. And like, just, I remember even like trying to figure out the right thing to say and Googling how you apologize. Like, it just wasn't naturally coming up for me. And took a lot of tears. And finally, I typed a response, a genuine heartfelt response. And it started off by saying, I'm sorry. I was being a bad friend. And I just kind of allowed myself to be seen. I allowed myself to see myself even. And I was admitting, you know, I admitted my part in it. And it felt like I was dying and being ripped apart. And it felt like just the worst thing ever. But as soon as I allowed that facade to be shattered, there was this relief. Like, there was this relief in being seen, even though I was being seen for something I didn't want to be seen. It's like there was this storm and there was the thunder and there was, you know, this, it was massive. And then the cloud started dissipating and the truth emerged. And then I could see. And I could see that, you know, I could see this fragile woman that makes mistakes, who also learns and is very strong and is resilient. And from that place, just by allowing myself to have that cracked open and have the truth be known in a way, it opened up this huge growth portal for me, now that I wasn't hiding. And I feel like it opened up this place for the light of God to move into me, to see me, and, you know, the truth of light to come in. And from there, I can open up the door and forgive myself and discover who I really am and love myself and embrace that unknown, having faith that in that identity, in my true identity, I can meet anything that comes my way. And that is a comforting feeling. So we're going to move into small groups. And before we do, I want you to think about, just allow a time from the past to come to mind when you felt inner unrest, discomfort, or fear. A time when you felt like you were in an apocalypse or having an apocalyptic moment. My question is, what did you have to face in yourself to overcome that? And in reflection, what truth do you think was trying to be uncovered and revealed to you about this situation? And lastly, what qualities have you developed to move through that unrest, that discomfort and fear, and come into the mountaintop? We'll paste the questions in the chat, and we're going to go into groups of three with 15 minutes each. So please be mindful of time. You'll have 5 minutes to speak and make sure everybody gets a turn. And Chris will send us off. Welcome back. I think we're all here again. Hope you had just a beautiful time like I did. We're going to move into a whole group share. So if you have any insights, ahas, reflections, we're going to take about, you know, 10 minutes-ish or less to share.
Well, I think, Lana, what you shared with us opened up a way for people to look at their life in such a way that they were able to, and I'm included in that, look at the things that we easily eyed and not necessarily face when we're confronted with it. So your beautiful expression allowed that to happen. And in our group sharing, there was a lot of confrontation individual confrontation from us to us to allow the truth to come forth. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. I just got to say to Lana, the sharing really did open the space and set the bar. You know, I in my group, I shared, you know, kind of a similar thing where it's like it gets so uncomfortable not being in integrity with yourself or not being authentic or feeling like a fraud. You know, that discomfort, that pressure that is inside, it goes somewhere, you know. And it's just, for me, having had a few, you know, really gnarly apocalyptic moments, now I really do pay attention to that inner discord, that discomfort. You can feel it when it happens, and to know that it's okay to be vulnerable and to, you know, let yourself really be seen. Most of us, I think, you know, maybe we've had those occasions when someone's judged or whatever, but at this point in my life, I'm surrounded by loving, understanding, wise people, and there's no reason to hide that, you know? So just really enjoyed this discussion and really deep. So thank you.
Thanks, Cece. I was thinking of the word courage. And anytime I've been faced with that apocalyptic moment, I had to go back and really look inside and say, what's true for me? What's inspiring me to do something, to be a certain way or whatever? And not to rely upon what other people think. Sometimes we need to go. I cited the circumstance that I had back in my 20s when I had been so involved in EDL and lived in a center, lived at Sunrise, lived at Lake Rest and everything. And I just really felt inspired to have an experience of being living on my own in one sense. And it wasn't looked upon as being the thing at that time. Things were very different then, but I still did it because I really felt that compulsion and it took courage to do that. And to meet the things that radically changed as far as my relationship with certain people, but and to do the exploration and to grow and to find an even deeper commitment in myself for what I love and what I do, and came to the point of feeling that I was the keeper of the flame. And then I'm, of course, I did, you know, come back into the fold, you know, but it was on a totally different level, with a totally different commitment, with a totally different love and sense of commission. So it takes courage. You know, it takes courage to do, you know, those things and to go through that those apocalyptic times.
It takes courage to do what we're doing right now, Patricia, to go into these break off rooms and bare our souls, basically talking about some things that are very personal to us, I'm sure in many cases. And I was reminded of what Lana said. She must have a better dictionary than I do, because I looked up the word too, but her dictionary revealed some other aspects about the apocalypse that mine didn't. And this uncovering factor, basically, and I thought, yeah, it's the naked truth. We need to be naked and unashamed among our peers, and especially to God, because that's the way we came into the world. And I'm not talking about physical nakedness, I'm talking about something inner revealing of ourselves and our inner workings. And it's important work. And it was just a wonderful experience. And it still is. And so it takes more courage now to continue with the larger group. Instead of just three, thought that was rough, try the whole group. But that's what it's all about, because we're dealing with the body of mankind, and that's what has to be revealed, more revelation to come. It's good to be in this with all of you, working through these things, working through the apocalypse.
Yeah, I've had a few apocalyptic experiences along the way. I'm sure we all have. Experiences that maybe jolted us out of a pattern of living that wasn't particularly productive. But I don't know about you, I wouldn't want to be having an apocalyptic experience all of the time. This explosion that occurs with an apocalyptic experience. I'm glad that I've kind of, you might say, mellowed out. And with each passing day, just bringing the highest and finest within me to every circumstance that comes my way. And in doing this, maybe just having more of a gentle apocalypse, a gentle revelation of the truth of myself day by day. And I believe this is doing the job.
Thank you, Jerry. It's always good to hear. It's interesting how we broke into groups, but we seem to have been in the same place as we now come together here. Are you all familiar with the word catharsis? It's a bit like holding things back behind a dam, and then eventually the floodgates open. It's like fighting the truth, holding it back, and then accepting it. And you know, life is as we move step by step toward the greater truth, the honest truth, we are gravitating toward honesty, and from honesty comes the truth. And sometimes it comes with a bit of an explosion, an apocalypse. I can remember when I was 17, frankly, I needed help. And someone was there to give that help. But I was closed off. You know, I had believed that there was no way out. I believed that I was there at the end and that there was no way out, because that's what I had experienced for several years. But they melted my heart. She did, and brought me through it. And it was an apocalypse. Rocks fell, walls fell away, and I was in a much warmer universe at that point. And that was the beginning of my contact with all of you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you all for your amazing courage and authenticity, and for allowing the apocalypse to open up the heaven and come into the heart and be integrated into a greater conscious evolution. I'd like to conclude with a time of unified radiation with an attunement card. This will be the spirit of the single eye, focused on the world. So let us come into a time of unified radiation with this card, and that will be the end of our time. I know we're probably going to go over a little bit with that, so if you need to go ahead, but I'm just going to go ahead and play this.
The spirit of the single eye, the world. Card 14. Thank you. Sometimes I feel so small and insignificant in a human world that can seem so terrible and overwhelming. Here I am as only one of 7 billion people, with war and the threat of war around the planet and ignorance everywhere. Still, I trust the spirit of the single eye within me. I see the circle of life all around. I see one planet and one family of man, men, women, and children who have a common source and a common destiny. I know you, beloved source of life. Are within them all, as you are within me. And all that is transpiring in this troubled world is held within the ordering power of your spirit. So I take my place in the world. I raise my voice so that I may be heard. Above the noise of all the cities and all the whir of digital media around the globe, above all the anxious thoughts of all the 7 billion people who walk the earth, and above all the tumult of the heart, I am here for this. Let me see with your eyes. Let me be a witness to the daily acts of kindness all around me. Let me celebrate the creative breakthroughs and the new world being born. Let me not be afraid to walk among the noise while I bring your presence, my presence, to the minds and hearts of my fellow human beings. Meditation. Hold your hands as if holding an invisible globe about 10 inches across. Close your eyes. Let the spirit of the single eye flow through your hands to that globe. Welcome into that globe a circumstance that you are touching in the world, a situation, a world figure, a land or people. It could be through your own direct contact, through media, or any sources of contact you may have. Fill that circumstance with your presence and the spirit of the single eye. Notice what you perceive in the interchange and how it changes. Continue until the process feels complete. I celebrate creative breakthroughs and the new world being born. I celebrate creative breakthroughs and the new world being born.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Very
thank you. All.
Precious. Thank you.
Thank you all.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Lovely evening. Thank you.
It was beautiful, Anna. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.